comics, horror entertainment, porn news,
foodies watching movies,
adults engaging in food,
podcast read,
the voice of survival,
kids for sale,
Gallif Radio,
brews with dudes,
journey into wrestling,
journey into comics network, journeyintocomics.com.
The following
Journey into Comics.
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 Network.
Production.
Heritage!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? I'm your host, Dick. We got Tyler here.
Hey.
He's a host, too.
I do stuff occasionally.
Matt's not here, because, you know, he's
without
lame.
Without Matt!
He's not here, because, you know, we're here for a special reason. This isn't just a regular episode. We're here to review Creed 2, the latest in what is the Rocky series. Even though it's a Creed movie. It's the Creed series, but it's the Rocky series.
It's still a Rocky movie in my mind.
Oh, for sure. And he didn't go see it with us this weekend, so he doesn't get to be here.
The tribe has spoken.
I'm so used to looking at the camera over here, and now it's over there. So I was like...
Blaine, did you just have a stroke?
Maybe. Maybe. Oh, thanks for the share, Jack. It was good.
It was real good. Like, okay, we're done now.
Yeah.
Like, sorry to subject all of you people listening to this because we're dumb.
We live streamed to Twitch and Facebook just to say it was good.
It was real good. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard for me to really critique a Rocky movie, which I consider Creed a Rocky movie,
mm-hmm.
because I like every Rocky movie except 5, which I think everyone can agree 5 is one of the worst movies of all time.
Yeah, 5 sucked. 5 was terrible.
5 was awful.
God awful.
But the important part is that, like, from Rocky 1... You know, it's this comeback kid kind of story. You know, he's a down on his luck guy. I mean, he's a bum, as mm-hmm. he's so eloquently labeled in the film. He's a bum.
Yeah.
And he does it. He challenges the champion of the world. You know, it was a publicity stunt. Apollo Creed was basically... just using him as an out.
Yeah.
Or as an in, I guess I should say, for more press coverage, for more legitimacy as the champion of the world.
They were questioning his legitimacy, yeah. But weren't they, like, not on his side? Was he basically a heel? Like...
As far as Rocky?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about Apollo Creed. They didn't like him. His stats were down.
No, well, the issue in the first movie was that he became champion of the world and then had multiple title defenses, and everyone in sports media at the time said that he was fighting bums.
Yeah.
He was fighting back alley guys that had no business being in the ring with the champion of the world, and you know, he was basically padding his stats to maintain possession of the belt. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to fight a true contender. And at that time, in the world of boxing, a prominently right-handed fighter fighting a southpaw, historically, left-handed fighters are the downfall of right-handed boxers. If you are a really good left-handed boxer, a right-handed boxer can't fight. I mean,
throws off your rhythm.
They can't. Well, you're jabbing with the left. all your powers in your right hand, they're jabbing with their right, and they have a lot more power in that left hand. So it is, I mean, you're it's the complete opposite stance. So when you would normally be blocking, you're getting hit in the fucking face. So it was kind of taboo at that time for those two opposing stances, yeah. I guess. Especially if you were a contender or a title holder, you didn't want to take the chance. So as a publicity stunt, Apollo says, you know what? Find like a hometown hero type guy, and I'll fucking fight him and make him left-handed too. And they're like, hey, yo, Adrian, you know?
Yeah, I'll fight him, you know.
Hey. But, so, you know, you progress through the story and it's like, is this guy really all there? You know, like he mentions it in the first film that he's punchy, mm-hmm. you know, which means he's got brain trauma, which makes him dumb, you know, unable to function.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately we get to Rocky IV and Apollo's doing his publicity stunts all over again. Yeah. And loses his life because of it. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because it's very relevant to the story of Rocky.
Yeah.
Or Creed 2.
Didn't Drago want to fight Rocky? And Rocky's like, no, I'm retired, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so Apollo Creed went in.
Well, and that was kind of the story in the background. Like, Rocky 1, Rocky challenges Apollo, but he doesn't win.
Yeah. But he lasts.
He goes the distance with Apollo Creed. And Rocky 2 starts. Rocky went back to live a normal life. You know, him and Adrian are together. He says, you know, I'm done fighting. You know, I'm gonna live my life for you, basically. And he's kind of unhappy. You know, he's got Mick, one of the greatest characters in all of film mm-hmm. ever, with Mickey. And Apollo is just on his ass because now this publicity stunt in the first film
backfired
on him, because now everyone said, well, some fucking bum from Philadelphia just went the distance with you. What kind of fucking champion are you? So, you know, we know how the end of the second movie goes. Yo, Adrian, I did it again. you know, Rocky takes the belt. And then at the end of Rocky 3, you know, it was kind of like an after credit scene before they were popular, when Apollo and Rocky get in the ring one last time. And then, you know, there's that freeze frame at the end and they're both getting ready to hit each other. You never really know how that plays out. Yeah,
even to this day.
Well, now we do know. In Creed 1, there's a scene where Adonis, Apollo's illegitimate son, says, you know, my mom told me about a story about a fight that you and Apollo had that nobody knows about. Oh, yeah? How'd it go? He won. So Apollo beat Rocky in that little sparring match that they had. But in the first Creed movie, you know, it's Rocky 1 all over again.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Rising up,
you know, goes the distance, but doesn't win. I really like the way, or how are we doing this spoiler wise? Do we really care?
I don't care.
If
you don't want to hear spoilers for Creed 2, get the fuck out of here.
I don't really want to break it down scene by scene, but I do want to hit the key points.
Yeah, same.
So
here,
the beginning of the film, it's Adonis, you know, right at the beginning of a fucking title fight, winning back his Mustang, mm-hmm. which I thought was you couldn't have started that movie a better way. We didn't need to see the training montage at the beginning of the film, because there's reasons that we love the Rocky series. We love the soundtracks, because they've all had a good fucking soundtrack. We love the training montages.
with the awesome soundtrack backing it.
With the awesome soundtrack backing it.
Usually Journey.
We love good villains that are just regular people. Mm-hmm. Apollo is just a regular guy. Clubber Lang's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
Drago is a little bit more than a regular guy.
Yeah, he was a Russian super boxer.
But he's just a man.
He was a Soviet super boxer.
Super boxer. I like the fucking way that you put that.
Trained by science.
And
oxygen tubes. Fucking super inclined treadmills that go 50 miles an hour.
Yes. So anyway. You know, and like it's the thought that a guy that wants something bad enough can achieve anything. That's why, like, for me, that's part of the reason that I've enjoyed the Rocky film so much. It's he's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
This motherfucker worked hard and literally took a beating, but he made it. He did it.
Yeah, it's a character piece about heart.
Yes.
And how far you're willing to go to get what you want, what you crave.
Well, and you know, Brando, it's got what plants crave. that just kind of happened. But, you know, one of the most iconic lines in all of movie history, in my opinion, is get up, Rock. Get up. Because Mickey loves you. You know, it's like, man, it hits you in the feels.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, in Rocky VI.
Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa.
Rocky VI.
Number six.
That one was so good.
His speech to his son.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's on every social media, every motivational website in the last decade has used that clip at some point. And I kind of felt like Creed 1 going into Creed 2 and finishing was basically that clip all wrapped up into one. You know? Adonis Creed lived a life of privilege and luxury.
Not at first.
Not at first. But
he was adopted into that.
He was adopted into that, but once he was adopted...
He was an illegitimate child of Apollo Creed.
Mm-hmm. But once he was adopted, you know, his mom, Apollo's wife, accepts him as her son because he is the only part of Apollo that is left.
Yeah. Didn't he have other kids? I thought he had other kids.
I didn't think he had any other kids.
I could have swore I saw other kids in, like, the older movies, but...
Oh, no, he did have another son.
But, like, what the fuck?
He did have another
son.
What
happened?
Because Rocky's son and him were doing shit together in one of the movies. I totally forgot about that.
Would have had to have been probably Rocky 5.
No, it was Rocky 4.
Okay.
It was Rocky 4.
Huh. I told you in the like after the movie was over, I was like, I want to watch Rocky 4 again.
This was the first year in a long time that I haven't had a Rocky movie marathon on Thanksgiving. That's kind of my thing. Every year to watch Rocky on Thanksgiving. But yeah, I mean, I just want to pull this up. All right, I want to point out a couple things because I've had this pulled up. Michael B. Jordan as Adonis Johnson / Creed, one of the best castings in a non-Marvel film ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Because what Michael B. Jordan lacks in talent as far as drama goes, he conveys the emotion of anger very, very well and in a way that it's relatable to a regular fucking person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sly Stallone, we don't need to say really anything about that. One of the greatest actors of all time, just for what he's done with Rocky. With this franchise.
Yep.
This is his last film in the series. So, and they kind of had a good farewell to him at the end of the movie, which I really dug. Tessa Thompson, which we know most for her part as Valkyrie in Thor Ragnarok.
That was her?
Yeah, that's Tessa Thompson.
Huh. Why didn't I know that?
I don't know.
I guess I just never knew who that was. I don't know.
Dolph Lundgren, you know, his most notable role in history is Ivan Drago.
Yes.
Didn't have quite the career that Sly Stallone had, unfortunately.
No, because, he had more of the Van Damme career.
Yes.
Take every action role imaginable and ask questions later.
Yes. the actor cast as Drago's son, Florian Montano, is how I'm going to pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
As far as IMDb goes, he's only got two films.
Wow.
Creed 2 and Bogat in 2016. But I thought, I mean, he played the son of Drago very, very well. Mm-hmm. I felt anyway.
Very stoic, very quiet.
I'm here to beat the fuck out of you, and that's it.
Yes.
And then
even Ivan wasn't like that anymore. He had no speaking roles hardly in Rocky IV, besides I Must Break You.
Yeah, very few, for sure.
And then this one. I mean, I get it. He's older now. And there was that scene where he's in Adrian's. He's in Rocky's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that scene. I love knowing that scene was happening. Like, as it was happening, I was like, he's there.
Nice and then, pictures.
Yeah, I love
no
that.
No pictures of me.
Because you never got a confrontation like that between them. Clubber Lang and him at least, and Rocky at least talked. Apollo and Rocky talked.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get that. You didn't get that dialogue.
Which normally I would say is very necessary, but as far as Rocky IV or Creed or not Creed, Rocky and Drago were so different from each other that the tension was enough for me. But I totally agree with you that it was very satisfying to finally get that dialogue, mm-hmm. to see them both, to see both of the stallions, see what I did there?
Yeah.
Both of the stallions out of their prime and out to pasture. I like that we're seeing Dolph Lundgren involved in some stuff. In some older age. In his older age.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in a lot of things. I mean, he was in...
Expendables?
Obviously, Expendables, but he was in Arrow last season.
Oh, really?
It was either last season or season before. He played... he was in the Russian Bratva.
Okay.
So...
That's cool. The other reason that I brought this cast list up, I wanted to... really focus on Tessa Thompson because she did pieces of the soundtrack for Creed 1 and Creed 2, featured much more prominently in Creed 2, and this girl has a fucking beautiful voice.
Yeah, she does.
She's a very talented actor. I really enjoyed the different perspective of the spouse of the main character, because all the way through Rocky, between Creed's wife and Adrian,
they're just the wife.
They're just the wife. I mean, they're not. I mean, Adrian was always there for a little bit of dramatic emphasis, you know. I'm having the baby.
Uh-huh.
You know, like,
don't fight him. You're going to hurt your brain.
Yeah. Which you don't have a lot of brain left, you know.
Rocky, you're so stupid. You're going to be stupider.
Yes. Don't do that. So, I mean, I really appreciate Bianca's role because she's doing her thing too. It's not just...
I want to add, I love how Adrian is in every single movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
In
some capacity. Rocky Balboa. Like, that whole movie was about him getting out his demons of mm-hmm. and facing her passing.
Yes.
And on top of that, just getting out.
Well, and it
sets... The stuff left in the basement.
What you don't know at the time of Rocky Balboa, it sets up a lot for Creed 1 and Creed 2 because of Rocky's relationship with his son.
Which is so... I find that so odd because Rocky Balboa, at the end of that... His relationship with his son is at like an all-time high.
But
by the end of that.
But you don't know how that relationship breaks down between
Yeah, how does that happen?
Well, I'm not even saying between Rocky Balboa and Creed 1. I'm saying the end of Creed 1 and Creed 2, like how much that, just in that short amount of time, could have broken down, because there his son is, seeing his dad on the TV again, mm-hmm. with what in his mind should have always been him. Mm-hmm. You know, you look back you look back at Rocky 4 and Rocky 5 specifically, when Rocky's son was a child, in his mind at that time, I want to be just like my dad. And then through, you know, his youth and then his teenage years and then high school, you know, his dad, you know, Rocky the whole time was saying, you don't want to be a fighter. You don't want to do this. And I think that's part of the reason his role or his role was so important in Rocky Balboa, because yeah, I'm successful and you're not noticing me. People only notice me because of your name. But I think it's that underlying resentment that I'm successful, but I'm not a successful fighter like you, and that's always what I wanted to be. I think that's the undertone that no one really appreciates from Rocky Balboa, which I think carries over into Creed 1 and Creed 2, because Rocky feels so responsible for Apollo's death. Now he's got his son. There's the void between him and his son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he brings Adonis in kind of as his surrogate son, and to latch on to anything that he can. And then, you know, through Creed 1 and Creed 2, you can see it on Sylvester Stallone's face. Anytime that he lets Adonis down, whether it's, you know, through not being the companion that he needs or not telling him what he wants to hear, you can see that it emotionally affects him.
Yeah.
Because the way it makes sense in my head is, in his mind, he's speaking to his son. Those are the conversations that he never got to have with his son, because they always told his son not to be a fighter. So, I mean, obviously, I think I'm digging deeper into what most people would ever dig deep into Rocky, but it's a lot more complex franchise than I think most people appreciate it for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree.
But yeah, to kind of wrap up the Tessa Thompson thing, if anyone is really interested in hearing what I would say I appreciate as one of the most unique, I would say, electronic R&B sounds I've ever heard, check out, just look up Tessa Thompson on Spotify. There's a nice, like, 5-song playlist from Creed 1 and Creed 2. It's just her stuff. It's really, really good. Very, very emotional stuff. I watched an interview yesterday from her, like, right after premiere night for the film. And she was kind of breaking down the character of Bianca.
Uh-huh.
And originally, in the first film, she was basically just Adrian, you know? That, I mean, that's what she was cast as. And then she did the music stuff.
Yeah.
And they fans and the directors really liked it. So she actually wrote some of the material. I can't remember the interview word for word, but I think as far as the Time Tick and the Go to War song that are featured heavily, you know, they're very important moments in Creed 2. I think she wrote both of those.
Awesome.
And put her own spin on, she put her own sound on it. Because part of Creed 2 is Bianca's journey of
becoming a signed artist.
Being a signed artist and not just being noticed because Adonis is her boyfriend, her love interest. She is being noticed for her accomplishments. So, you know, here on Podcast Free, I'm normally not one, and you're not any different, to really break down the societal idiosyncrasies of, you know, gender fluidity, you know, all that social justice warrior bullshit.
Yeah.
But I did appreciate a little bit stronger feminine role as opposed to Adrian,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Adrian character is very lackluster.
But it's necessary.
It's necessary, absolutely, because Rocky sees her. It's actually really cool because she is no one. She's there's nothing special about her. Mm-mm. But Rocky sees her, and it's all about how Rocky sees her.
Yep.
And it's such a great love story.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought that up because we're talking about Creed, and from the moment of Bianca's introduction in Creed 1, I mean, it's almost line for line Rocky and Adrian.
Yeah.
All the way back at the beginning of the franchise, because he's going across the hallway to bitch at somebody for loud music, and I mean, you can see it on his face, and Michael B. Jordan is a fantastic actor. I don't need to emphasize that anymore. But through his character, it's like, shit. Like, I like this girl. And then they start hanging out, and then they get involved. And then in Creed 2, you know, she's successful. He's supporting her, doing her thing. They start to get on opposite teams as far as his fighting career, which mirrors, you know, the Rocky franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You could be stupider, you know. She wants him to be successful, but, you know, she's a strong, independent woman. Let her do her thing. And they emphasize her degenerative hearing loss a lot more in this film.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated. Because it goes back to what I was saying about being real fucking people. That's what Rocky's always been. It's stories about real people. How many other movies or any type of media do you pick up on a daily basis? And it's like, this is shit that real people have to deal with. Like, that's one of my biggest fears in life is I don't have a lot of health issues. I have a lot of physical ailments. But I know that if I lost the ability to see or hear, at least thinking about it, you know, metaphorically, it would almost be unbearable.
Yeah.
Because I've had the privilege of experiencing that my entire life. And in my mind, it would almost be a lot kinder of a situation if a child was born without the ability, because they don't have that sensation ever torn away from them. And that's why videos like the infants hearing their mom's voices first time are so powerful.
Yeah.
Because that is a totally foreign sensation.
Yeah, but to see it make them so happy.
Yes.
Just instant, like them immediately associate whatever that sound they're hearing for the very first time that they've never heard before,
mm-hmm,
in their entire life, which at that to them seems like a lifetime at that
right
point. But to us, it's like, pff, you just popped out. They're like maybe 3 or 4 months old, mm-hmm, 6 months old. And they hear that voice and immediately associate that in their brain as happiness.
Yep.
That it immediately brings them joy. And that's the powerful moment right there.
And it's highlighted in this film because Bianca is dealing with the degenerative hearing loss, which is getting progressively worse.
Yeah.
They don't outright say it in the film, but from what I understand, kind of what I picked up, they show it that the timetable has actually progressed faster than was initially expected, at least as far as what they talk about in Creed 1. But life happens. Bianca gets pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a baby. And that moment is so helter-skelter because it's like, yeah, you had a baby. And then as they're, you know, congratulating and everything, Bianca says, you know, it could be hereditary. Oh, they say that before, that the hearing loss could be hereditary. And they do the tests. The baby's deaf. More real-life shit. I mean,
I was going to say, well, they say, they never say she's deaf. They say it's still early. They can test again.
Well, they have false readings and blah blah blah. But it's implied that the baby's deaf.
Yeah, because they never retest. So we think.
So lots of really powerful imagery and scenes with that, you know. Bianca just upright leaves one night, like, hey, I got to go to the studio and clear my head. And it's like, I know what that feeling's like, having an infant. And you're like, okay, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
You know, please don't die. Like, the whole time Ruby was a baby, like, if Skylar left, that's the only thing that was going through my head. Please don't die. Please don't fall out of that. Don't die. Like, it's a weird sensation, but it's so powerful of a sequence of scenes because she is deaf.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to tell her it'll be all right and, you know, to stop crying, and he's panicking and calling his mom and reaching out to any help he can, and she's deaf. She can't hear him. So that, as a parent, and now you're a parent, so you understand. Yeah,
that's such a helpless feeling right mm-hmm. there. Like, because a lot of babies, what soothes them is the hearing the voice and all that, and
yes,
hearing sounds and all that, and it's just that baby can't. So it has to be soothed in some other way.
Can't even hear its own voice.
No, it has no idea how loud it. I mean, like, a baby cares how loud it is, but. Right. Yeah.
So, to backtrack a little bit, you know,
your dad says, I was the same with you, son. Please don't die.
Hey, I mean, shit, it's the truth though. But to backtrack in the film, to mirror the first film, we've got publicity stunt. Apollo Creed's, you know, illegitimate son versus Ivan Drago's stallion of a fucking champion, you know. Ukrainian boxer not recognized by anybody. You know, it's Rocky all over again. Mm-hmm. And Rocky says, I can't do this. I just can't. I'm not going to watch your dad die again by watching you get in the ring with that animal.
Yeah. And boy, oh boy, he's a big boy.
He is a mamma jamma.
For lack of a better term.
He is a big man. He is a beefy boy.
He is, he's stacked.
He's stout.
He's a big boy.
He's
a big boy.
And he just beats the fuck.
Yeah, they go right into it.
He Ivan Drago's Apollo Creed is what he does.
Yeah.
Because there's not a chance at all of that Adonis has any hope of winning that bout.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, it was great because, like, Ivan's the one doing all the shit talking.
Yeah. He's like, his son is basically him in Rocky IV. He doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. And Ivan's just like, figured your father was bigger.
Yeah.
Like, that's all that means anything to him, is like how big you are. Like, your father was bigger. Which, fucking, what was his name? Carl Weathers?
Yes.
Fucking monstrous man. At the end of Rocky III, monstrous man. You see that match between, you see that training montage with Rocky and Apollo.
What about him and fucking Predator when him and Arnold lock arms? Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Carl Weathers was a big fucking dude. He's a
big fucking guy.
Let me actually see how tall Carl Weathers was.
You ever see that? I think it was on Mad TV or something, but he did a promotion saying, elect me for governor of your state. And it's like, Arnold got elected California, Jesse Ventura, Utah, elect me.
I thought Jesse Ventura was Minnesota.
Or it was Minnesota, sorry. He's like, I want to be governor too. I was also cast in Predator.
Yeah.
I need to look that up and find that sometime.
Carl Weathers is fucking 6'2", so he's a big guy compared to us.
Anyway, yeah. You know? 6'2" is pretty decent for us compared to us. And I mean, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, Rocky III, just look at Rocky III. I mean, I give credit to Predator. But Rocky III, yeah. Like, he really shows that body off.
And he was always glistening.
Oh, yeah, because him and Rocky were, like, fucking oiled up nonstop in that movie.
Always.
Especially those beach runs. And those, yes. And then whatever those fucking...
The unijorts, as I call them.
Unijorts.
It's actually just one piece of fabric.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It looked like a
loin jort.
It was so weird because it looked like it was like a, it could, it's like the equivalent of like the headgear.
A Chinese finger trap?
No, the headgear.
Okay.
Like the,
sweatband? Oh no, the boxing headgear.
Yeah. Like how it's like the padding mm-hmm. or like the wrestling, like the floor padding.
Yes.
But it's like for your crotch and like hip and butt. And it's just padding.
Yeah. So you don't get hit in the nuts.
Yeah, but they just ran in it on the beach.
Yes.
They played in the water together. Eye of the Tiger, man.
Come on, Rock. Eye of the Tiger. Eye of the Tiger. So anyway, you know, Adonis gets the fuck beat out of him. Like, lacerates a kidney. Breaks a bunch of ribs.
Which you hear.
Because Drago says to his son, Victor...
Break him. You hear that several times. That's his trademark line.
And he does. He broke him.
Like, that is a trademark line, and they really drive that home when, like, Ivan Drago wants things broken.
Must break you.
He's like, break him. Break him now.
Break him again.
So, like, that's quotes. That we're not just being funny here. Those are quotes.
Yeah. That's verbatim from the film, minus the strong accent that I can't do.
I wish I could get like a deeper Russian voice, but
I can't move my mouth well enough to do.
I must Russian break you. Voice. I must break you.
I don't have a deep enough voice. I must break you.
Yeah, that was bad.
I know.
I don't like to say that, but that was bad.
Well, my Sylvester Stallone impression is even worse, so. But Adonis perseveres, saves the day. I thought that we were going to see Rocky IV knockout, and to pay homage to Apollo's death in Rocky IV, Ivan actually throws in the towel to save his son.
That was let's break down. If we're going to break down anything, I want to break down that entire scene. So
there was a lot of drama associated with Bridget Nielsen's character, Victor Drago's mom, Ivan Drago's former wife. She abandoned them after Ivan's loss in Rocky IV. That's highlighted a lot during the film. You know, the Russian government / boxing committee are all of a sudden interested in Ivan and Victor again. Ivan uses that to kind of fuel Victor's fire.
Mm-hmm.
And as Victor is losing, she gets up and leaves.
Yeah.
And Victor is visibly beaten.
But he's kind of like... He is like paralyzed in fear anytime he sees her.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest thing.
Because she ruined his life.
Yeah. Well, I understand that fear. You see someone from your past that like you held in such high regard, and to see them just there, you just freeze.
Mm-hmm.
But like that's his mom and. She walked out, and then now she's back.
And then there's that
dinner scene, and there's such a contrast between him and Ivan, and Victor once again playing basically younger Ivan. He's quiet. He's just all he knows is boxing. All he knows is
breaking.
So when. There's that dinner party scene, and Ivan's just schmoozing. He's just schmoozing with the Russian elite.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's loving every second of this. He's back in their graces.
Yep.
And, you know, it almost seems like this was never about Victor. It was about him. And, you know, you start to see that Victor's realizing that. The director portrays this just so well. He paints this picture, and like, Victor doesn't say a word, but you can see it on his face. You can see it in his body language, how he's feeling towards his dad. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm nothing to you. This is all about you. I'm just a tool in this game you're playing.
Which Drago does in Rocky IV. And you see Drago start to get to that point, too, towards the end of him and Rocky's
There's parallels.
Fight.
People give Star Wars shit for fucking parallels, but goddamn, we got them right here in Rocky and Creed.
So, towards the end of the fight, Victor Drago is visibly beaten. Adonis has rallied even after being broke. Mm-hmm. Victor breaks the ribs and possibly lacerates the kidney all over again. And Ivan sees Bridget Nielsen's character leave. Mm-hmm. And he sees his son, and he sees what his son's going through.
Yeah. And, you know, almost for a second, I thought Ivan left too.
Yeah, I could see that.
It seriously kind of made it look like he walked away as well and just left his son there.
He went to get the towel.
Yeah. And that's when he comes back in, and that's when he becomes a hero in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we'll see if you disagree with me at all, but he didn't throw in the towel so his son didn't get hurt anymore. He threw the towel in so his son didn't have to deal with the idea that he lost. So earlier in the film,
that's a good perspective.
Earlier in the film, Drago points out,
I lost.
That's why they abandoned me. You won't lose.
That was right after the dinner. That was during the dinner party.
That was during the dinner party. So I think that was foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let you lose. So by throwing in the towel, that's not a loss. That's a forfeit.
Yeah.
He didn't lose. So that's almost Ivan's way of saving, well, you can still possibly salvage the relationship with your mother, because she abandoned me because I lost. She abandoned you because I lost. I'm not going to let you lose. That's the way that I looked at it.
I like that perspective. I think it's kind of cheap and petty that she abandoned her son, mm-hmm. her own kid,
right.
just because the father failed. It's like, what? Well, that makes no sense, but I don't know Russian culture as well, so.
Soviet Russian culture.
Yeah, Soviet Russian culture, which a lot of the people that lived through that era are still in that mindset, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. I don't know how Russian culture is. I don't know how the Russian satellite culture is, or Soviet satellite culture. Because they now live in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I loved all the Drago stuff, like all the training sequences, all the fucking the scenes with them. Loved it all, because that's a side we didn't. I don't remember seeing much in Rocky IV, because I mean, it, like, once again, it was fucking science training. It was fucking.
Well, it was montage.
It was fucking.
I mean, it was the year of the montage. It was montage after montage.
Science, boxing, montage.
Yes.
Science training montage. And but speaking of montages, let's look at the parallels in both Creed and Rocky.
Okay.
As in the people. Rocky in Rocky IV, he went to Soviet Russia and trained in the Soviet fucking wilderness, mm-hmm. by himself, with the Russians, like, you know, watching him.
Yep.
To keep an eye on him. And he trained like old school fucking no gym.
He did it lumberjack style.
Yeah, he did it lumberjack style. Russian lumberjack style. Like, he was running up fucking mountains with logs on his back and shit. He was splitting wood, doing fucking pull-ups in the cabin.
Yeah.
You know, he was going hard.
Jacking off in front of the fireplace.
Yeah. And the Russians. But, and then, so he's in the cold. He's in the ice. Mm-hmm. Rocky, 30 years later, takes Adonis Creed into the desert, the fire. And it's just the trade-off of elements, you know, between the two movies. Like here.
Well, I loved Rocky's line to Adonis as they're entering the desert. You're going to go through hell, so you might as well get used to it here.
Yep.
So, and at one point...
And they're just beating the shit out of him. Like, yeah. Rocky's taking that giant medicine ball and just beating the fuck out of his ribs.
Do you
want
to do a training montage down here where I beat the fuck out of you with a medicine ball?
I think it would look a lot different. I'd just be laying on the ground, a fucking broken man, just being pummeled by a medicine ball, even though I'm just limp.
I would, if you stop moving, I would stop, maybe.
It'd be more like that scene in Kung Pao where they're just beating him with sticks and he's just laying on the ground. They're like, I don't know. He said he'd give the signal. Yes. Do you think lying on the ground is the signal? Well, he did say he would. That when he threw us all off of him, we would be done. Oh, okay. Let's all just get on top of him. Okay, chosen one. You can throw us off now. Oh, God, guys.
But I really dug the training montage for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's a training montage. But number two, the scenes where he's forced to put his fucking foot in a tire against somebody else.
Oh, that, yeah, I like that. That
was
cool.
And they're just beating the fuck out of each other.
Toe to toe.
And the scene where Rocky's in the Mustang and Adonis collapses. And I called it the moment Rocky turned around and looked at him. I knew he was going to say, get up. Get up. Because that's Mickey talking to him in Rocky IV. When he's telling him to get up. Get up, Rock!
I really enjoy how Rocky's taking the Mickey position. Mm-hmm. The Mickey role.
Well, I mean, up until now.
Yeah.
Now he's done. But which is essentially the same thing, because...
He was only in part of Rocky III.
Yes, because Clubber Lang forced him to have a fucking heart attack. So, the final parallel that I really want to talk about is the ending scene with Adonis and his father's gravestone. I thought that was really powerful stuff. And I really liked they included it because earlier in the film, Rocky visits Adrian.
Yeah.
And
like I said, she's always there.
Towards the end of the film, you know that's going to be the last time. When Adonis is walking up to his dad's gravestone, we know that earlier in the film, that was the last time that we were going to see Rocky talking to Adrian. So, as far as the last couple Rocky films, above all else, I have enjoyed watching Rocky talk to Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I mean, in Rocky Balboa, he says stuff like, you know, something about Mickey. You know, he talks about Mickey. Or no, that was Creed. That was Creed when he starts talking about Mickey, because Mickey's gone now too.
Yeah.
But anyway, those were always really powerful scenes for me. And I
was
knew
it Mickey or Polly?
Polly, yeah, is what I meant to say. Thank you. Because Polly was in Rocky Balboa. But you know, at the end of the Drago fight, that you're not going to see Rocky have those conversations anymore. And the second to final scene of the film is Adonis talking to his dad's gravestone. And at the very end of that scene, they focus in on his daughter. And she's got the hearing aids.
I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm. She has the hearing aids on just like Bianca does.
Okay.
So it's kind of a, oh, yeah, she's going to be able to hear something.
Yeah.
So I dug that.
I wish I would have noticed that.
Yeah, the moment, because they're purple. They matched her coat.
Maybe that's why I just didn't notice it, because it just blended in.
The final scene of the movie is Rocky kind of reconciling with his son.
Yeah, that was cool.
And getting to meet his grandson for the first time.
That was really cool. And, you know, that was a theme throughout the movie. It's like,
just call him.
Adonis just called him out on it. He's like, why don't you just call him? Just call him.
And then he never does it.
He's like, I would give anything for my dad to be able to call me.
Yeah, just call him. Not that hard.
I hate that feeling. Like, just to get real deep here right now, I hate that feeling knowing, like, one day there's going to be a time when my dad can't call me or I can't call him. Like, that sucks. Like, I already went through that when my grandpa died. Like, that sucked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I straight up had, like, hey, be real with me here right now. Have you ever seen P.S. I Love You?
It's been a long time.
Well, so very beginning of the movie, Gerard Butler's already dead. Mm-hmm. He died. And she calls his cell phone and listens to his voicemail just to hear his voice mm-hmm. over and over again.
Pretty common in today's society to do that.
Yeah. I did that because I didn't necessarily call it over and over again, but like anytime I would call my grandma's home phone, she kept that voicemail message or the mailbox message. Mm-hmm.
Answering machine?
Yeah, the answering machine. Vintage. But like it's so much, and she kept it for so long, and when she got a new answering machine, she actually had us record it and then play it while they recorded the new one so it would stay there. Mm-hmm. Like it was kind of, looking back, it's kind of like sick and like why would you do that to yourself?
Not necessarily.
Yeah. I can see it being like, come on, guy, you got to move on.
Well, not necessarily though, because there's things like I watched my mom's dad die.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched him die.
Yeah.
On my living room floor.
Yeah.
And I've talked about that whole thing on this show and Voices of Survival, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to get super deep with that, but I can't remember what he looks like. I mean, if I sit and try and think about what he looks like, I'll get flashes, like glimpses. Mm-hmm. I can't. If he was standing in front of me right now, I wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah. But no, I would call my grandma. It wouldn't just be out of the blue or anything like that. Like, I would be like, I would need to talk to my grandma about something. She wasn't answering a cell phone. Call her house phone. That was the best way to get her. And I wouldn't get her if I happen to make it all the way to the answering machine. I would listen just to hear his voice, and that's crazy. It's crazy how I love how technology can do that for you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I can't. Did Apollo or Adonis say something, or Donnie say something about that? Like, I would give anything to hear my dad's voice.
I don't believe so.
Okay. I feel like he did, but I guess I was wrong. But, like, you get that feeling, you get that sense from him, mm-hmm. though. Like, he at least has you. Your son at least has you.
Right.
You're still here.
Well, and he points it out a couple times in the film, like, I don't have my dad because you couldn't throw the towel. So.
Yeah.
Which is a really powerful scene while he's fighting Victor. Rocky says, do you want me to throw the towel? And they don't say anything. They just look at each other. Rocky goes, I didn't think so.
Yeah, and he says it in a way like, that's what your dad did. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's accepting and being judgmental at the same time.
It is.
Because he knows every facet of what Adonis is thinking in his mind. He's thought it. He's done it. He's done it all. Mm-hmm. He's done more than any boxer in history in this universe. So he knows it. He knows where he's at. He knows he can win. He knows he can lose. Mm-hmm. He knows he can die.
Yeah.
He knows that he can be permanently damaged mentally, like himself. You know, he knows all of that. And he's giving Adonis the opportunity to also recognize that he knows all of it. And when he says, "All right, I didn't think so," he's judging him because he couldn't be stronger than his father and allow him to throw the towel. He's accepting because of all that, and because it goes back to the father-son shit that I was talking about earlier in the show.
Yeah.
He wants to see his son succeed.
Yeah.
Seeing Adonis succeed here means that he can go be with his son, his real son.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
It's so, I mean, it's like a maelstrom of different emotions and perspectives and everything swirling together just in that one, you know, that scene's what, maybe 15 seconds long? Just that part where they're both in the corner. Mm-hmm. He asks him, "Do you want me to throw the towel?" 15 seconds long at the most. And there's just so much shit happening at the same time. So, I dig it.
I dig it too. This movie was fucking straight 10 for me.
Yeah, totally agree. There has, other than Rocky V, I could sit down and watch any Rocky movie in any order, any time of the year. Like I said, I mean, for like the last 10 years, I've watched a marathon on fucking Thanksgiving.
Honestly, they're all 10s to me except for Rocky V. They're all good. They are all good. I think the first two, I don't like the first two as much as 3 and 4.
Well, 3 and 4 are so much more entertaining.
Exactly.
But 3 and 4 are more entertaining because of 1 and 2.
1 and 2, like, it's all about the drama.
It's all drama.
It's all drama. And it's all about life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about boxing. It's about life.
It's what real fucking people do.
Yeah. And so they kind of drag on a bit. If you really sit down and watch them and you're like, fuck, is this over yet? Or are they gonna fucking fight yet?
And then Rocky and Apollo start going at it. And you're like, I don't want this to stop.
And you're like, okay.
Like, I'm sorry, Rocky, but I want to see you keep getting beat on because this is great.
You're like, this was all worth it.
Yeah,
we're here.
It's all, yeah, definitely a perfect 10 for me as well. Really looking forward to what the Rocky franchise fully evolves into, the or how it fully evolves into the Creed franchise, where Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson's characters go in the future. There's so many characters. You know, you and I have talked a lot the last couple months about, you know, what if we bring Clubber Lang's son into this?
I joked about that.
No, but I mean, seriously, like, you could do it, and we would watch it.
Absolutely, we would watch it, but I would be critical of that.
What if Mickey?
I would be critical of that.
What if Mickey's grandson is a boxer?
I mean, that'd be, I would take that over Clubber Lang's.
Right.
I mean, I said that as literally a joke. I even joked straight up, like, saying Clubber Lang came back because he's still, Mr. T's still kicking.
Right.
Like, he just comes back, hey!
I pity the fool.
Hey, you over there. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Hey, woman.
just starts yelling at Donnie Creed, and Donnie's like, who the fuck is this old man?
This old senile bastard. Big old gold chain. But I'm really excited. The point is, I'm really excited to see where this franchise kind of picks up and takes off.
But we both said to each other,
immediately after the movie, this is what we said to each other.
This is it. I am 100% happy if this is it.
Yeah. You can end it here. I don't need to see any more.
No.
But at the same time, if you have to do it,
I'll watch it.
If Absolutely. It's as good as the first, I think this one is. I think 2 is better than the first one, in my
mm-hmm.
opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a more satisfying film. It's got a little more flair.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to stop here and end on a high note, I'm okay with it. If they keep the franchise going and it's just like Rocky was, let's skip Rocky Five. Let's not have any duds. Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson and cast and crew. Let's not have any duds, but keep the momentum. Like make a movie as good as this one every time, which shouldn't be hard. It's a boxing movie.
Yeah.
It's not Infinity War. And don't get me wrong, folks, I'm not taking anything away from this franchise. Like, it's a very complex. We broke down a lot of shit.
Yeah, we did.
But just keep, you know, we talked about it last week. Pay attention to the source material. Rocky is your source material. Let Sylvester Stallone be a consultant. Say, hey, this is what I would do here.
This is what I do here. You know,
Adrian.
Hey, yo, Adrian.
But I
wish Brandon Stone was still watching because he would Skype in and do his impression right now.
we'll get it next week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll make it happen. Fucking question me.
Okay, we'll Skype him in.
Are we done?
We can be done.
I need to go to the grocery store.
Once again, 10 out of 10. I fucking love this movie.
I would go see it again in theaters, hands down.
I can't wait to buy it.
Eat.
Add it to my collection. If that is all, that is all. Folks, if you're watching live, thank you for watching. And tune in every Tuesday right around 5:30 or 6. You'll catch us live now on Twitch and possibly YouTube if it works.
We're doing our best.
We're doing our best. But yeah, check us out on Twitch at Podcastrophy. You just got to look up Podcastrophy on Twitch and you'll find us. And we'll be live there. You can also check us out on Facebook, Podcastrophy. And we're live there. If you don't check us out live, you can check us out on iTunes and Podbean. If you search Podbean, or God damn it, that's 2 weeks in a row.
I accept it.
If you search Podcastrophy Pod on iTunes and Podbean, you'll find us. And you can subscribe to us if you haven't already. You get bonus episodes just like this. You don't get this. You don't get an episode like this on the Journey into Comics Network. And that is what makes it that much important that you subscribe. That's what makes it a big dick day. That's what gives it its big dick energy. So that's why you need to subscribe to us directly. But if you don't want those extra things, I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you don't want those extra things, you just go on over to the Journey into Comics Network. I'm doing like a combination of Sly and Yogi Berra.
I'm really disappointed.
If you don't want the bonus shit, subscribe to Journey into Comics and you get all the shows like Journey into Comics, Poor News and Poor Entertainment, Adulting Wrestling, Journey into Wrestling, Voice of Survival, Gallif Radio, Foodies Watching Movies,
Kids for Sale,
and Brews with Dudes.
Poor Entertainment / Poor News.
I said that. That was literally the fucking second thing I said.
you pretend I listen to you.
And you get us too.
Matt
you get
Walker's
us too.
Here.
Oh hey Matt Walker, thanks for joining at the end. Hope you really enjoyed the show. go ahead and subscribe to Journey into Comics Network on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, and you'll get all of those shows, including our show for now. And stuff. Like, all those shows are great. I don't know about Gallif Radio. I'm not a Doctor Who fan. But if you are, check that show out. So, yeah.
That's all the big dick energy I have today.
Oh. Well, thanks, Tyler.
We cleaned up the studio a little bit.
Yep, we did a live stream of a studio cleaning and brainstorming. And then now we're doing this, and now we're ending this. So, yeah. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeet.
If that is all, that is all. Please make every day a big dick day. Heritage.
Eye of the Tiger, Rock. Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.